Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back again, joining me for another week of diving into God's Word, of asking, what is God saying to us, and what are we doing about it? If you didn't join us last week, we had a great week with probably the most guests we've had on in a week. We had the Be Love Revolution team. Be Love Revolution that's a part of Renewal Ministries, doing ministry with young women in middle schools and high schools, and just being His, being free, being love in the world. And it was such a fun week, and I think it really set the tone even for what we're going to dive into this week. And so if you didn't have a chance, I would encourage you to go back and listen. If you want to be encouraged by some beautiful testimonies, you can go back and listen anywhere where you listen to the show or where you find your podcast. But I'm so excited to be with you this week, and we're going to spend some time again in the writings of St. Paul. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15, and again, we're going to be in a set of verses that are very personally convicting to me, because particularly when we get into the writings of St. Paul, when we get into the epistles of St. Paul, we see that there's this transformation at work, but also in the context of that transformation, the Word of God is very instructional on how we are to live. And I know we've experienced together coming before the Word of God, laying ourselves bare before the Word of God, and the Word of God convicting us, the Word of God coming to our heart. And I don't know about you, but this season of my life, probably the past 6 months, the Word of God has been piercing and poking on such specific things in my life, such specific situations, such specific relationships. It's like something will happen that I'll do, and then I'll read something in God's Word, and it'll be like an exact conviction of how I am to live. And it's this challenge to me to say, God is challenging us to live differently. God is challenging us to walk in a particular way of life. And what I want to say before we dive into this is, right, we're nestled between Easter and Pentecost. Pentecost is coming up. I love Pentecost. Pentecost is one of my favorite seasons in the church. And I love it so much because Pentecost just didn't happen one time. So when we celebrate Pentecost here in a couple weeks on that May 24th weekend, we're not just commemorating when Pentecost happened way back then in the upper room. We're actually stepping into an ongoing Pentecost, a continual Pentecost. This is something the recent popes, since John Paul II and Pope Paul VI and even John the 23rd, have talked so much about, is a renewal, a current of grace, a perpetual Pentecost. That life with Christ is a perpetual Pentecost. So why is that important? That we're approaching this time of Pentecost, of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, to say what happens and what we're going to read is some challenging words on how we are to live. But even before we read them, even before we're convicted, even before we ask God, what does this mean? What does this look like? To say, I want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, we had a talk recently at Beloved. It's our event for high school girls, and we had an amazing speaker there, Anna Fiola. She's local, just an amazing, beautiful, holy woman, and she was talking about holiness. And she said this thing. She said, right, the Holy Spirit helps us to be holy, helps us to become like God. The Holy Spirit is God's love poured into our hearts. But God, very particularly, when God gave us the Holy Spirit, He didn't call and revealed the third person of the Trinity. He didn't reveal the third person of the Trinity as a kind spirit, or even joyful spirit, or patient spirit, or a spirit of power, but particularly as Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit carries and reveals the holiness of God, that then the Holy Spirit empowers us to live that way. So as we're approaching God's Word, as we're saying, Holy Spirit, convict me on God's Word to live in a particular way, to walk in a particular way, to say, you know what, I want to rid myself of all self-reliance, and I want the Spirit of God to empower me to live this way. So let's go ahead and pray, and let's ask for the Holy Spirit as we approach the Word, the Holy Spirit, not just a spirit of conviction, but a spirit that actually gives us the holiness of God, a Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a particular way of life through God's power, not our own. So if you join me in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. If you just pray with me wherever you are, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts and our minds. Make us like you. Give us the power, your power, not our power, but your strength to walk in newness of life. That in our relationship to you and our relationships to others, even in our relationship to ourselves, we may look more like you. We may walk in holiness in a particular way. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to read. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15. And I love this because the title of the chapter is Please Others, Not Yourselves. So you already know it's going to be challenging, right? It's going to be a challenging word about really looking to exalt others and not exalt ourselves. And so I'm going to start at verse 1 and I'm going to read a chunk really through verse 9. And we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has to say. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good to edify him. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached thee fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Okay, so we have a lot there. So we're going to go, like we always do, verse by verse. So what is Paul doing? He's edifying the Romans. He's lifting them up. The beginning of Romans is extremely theological. It's what has Christ done for us? It's you're dead to sin and alive to Christ. You have been baptized into Christ's death and raised with him. And what does that do for us? And he says, now you walk in newness of life. You were dead to sin. Now you're alive in Christ Jesus. And then he begins to move into, we see this in Romans 12, right? It begins in Romans 12, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God as your spiritual worship. And then Paul begins to get into the nitty gritty. So what is your spiritual worship? Spiritual worship isn't just like floating up to heaven and being like, look how spiritual I am. I'm so disconnected from the human race, right? That's like this Gnosticism where we like rise above the reality of our everyday lives. But what Paul will present from Romans 12 on is to say your spiritual worship, your sacrifice to God is actually the nitty gritty of your everyday life. What does John say? What we have seen, what we have heard, what we have tasted, what we have touched. This reality. What's happening in our work? What's happening in our families? When we get up every day, our spiritual worship isn't just like meditating really intensely in front of the Blessed Sacrament and having mystical experiences. Our spiritual worship is not biting, you know, not biting your spouse's head off first thing in the morning when you haven't had your coffee and they've already done something to bother you. This is our spiritual worship, not how we live and how we act. And so Paul is continuing that. And then this first verse, we who are strong, which I love that. Paul is so, we who are strong. He's putting himself in the category. He's like, those of us who are strong, right? And I'm like, I don't know if I would put myself in the category of being strong. But he's saying, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. So those of us who are strong spiritually, those of us who are walking together, we ought to bear with the failings of the weak. There's so many places where we hear Paul talking about this, right? In other places, Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Thessalonians, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all. Colossians 3, bear with one another. And if one has a complaint against each other, forgive. So there's like this, what is this idea of bearing? It goes with this idea of endurance. It means to carry, to support, to endure patiently, to accept responsibly, like to bear the consequences, right? To accept those things. So to carry a burden, to carry or endure. So he's saying endure one another's weaknesses. Endure one another's weaknesses. This is so convicting. Those who are strong ought to endure with the failings of the weak. This is the first step in pleasing others, not in pleasing ourselves. And I don't know about you, but it's very, very hard for me to endure the failings of other people. And I felt when I was praying about this, the Lord was really convicting me, because this is like a back and forth, because I'm super justice oriented. And I think it comes from me from a place of pride. Like justice is good. God's justice is good. But I think so often I can get so hung up on like these frustrations of what other people are doing. And I think oftentimes as human beings, we function in these two extremes. We function either in tolerating weakness and sin, of saying like it's okay and letting things slide in a way that doesn't actually encourage people to grow, or we go the other way and we become people that look at a lens with everyone that's so, so harsh. And then we're nitpicking and we're weighing every single one of their weaknesses. And then even somebody else could have that same weakness as a particular person, but we're not focusing in on it because that person doesn't bother us as much, right? That person doesn't annoy us. And so to say, like, we want to find some place between these two extremes, because we're not called to just like allow people to sin in whatever way they want and be like, I'm bearing their weakness and I'm not saying anything. Bearing weakness, enduring with the failings of the weak, does not mean never correcting, does not mean not making a proper judgment on bad behavior, but it also doesn't mean scrutinizing. It also doesn't mean looking so intensely. And friends, this is a conviction for me. Because I find, because of my own pride and a way to protect myself from sometimes people looking at my own sin and looking at my own life, I can sometimes bring a Pharisee spirit. And to say, am I bringing this Pharisaical spirit? Am I judging in an unnecessarily harsh way the sin and weakness of other people? Or am I making judgments in a right context because I'm bearing their weakness? And this I actually want to continue on tomorrow, but I think as we pray and we close just out that first verse, say, Lord, am I bearing with the weaknesses of other people? And two, show me places of pride where I'm focusing on the weaknesses of other people more than I need to be, where I'm focusing on the weaknesses of other people in a more intense way. And so just pray, really, Holy Spirit. This is a dangerous prayer. Holy Spirit, show me where there's pride in my heart. And tomorrow I want to dive more into how do we actually bear the failings of the weak. God bless. Join me again tomorrow as we continue in Romans 15.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.